I'd like to open with a reminder that the Democrats are completely on board with this conflict. There are some individual Democrats that aren't, but Democratic leadership sure as hell is. Statement from House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, our guy. The Trump administration must explain itself to the American people in Congress immediately, provide an ironclad justification for this act of war, clearly define the national security objective, and articulate a plan to avoid another costly, prolonged military quagmire in the Middle East. This is not a statement of condemnation, not even close. This is a statement of conditional endorsement. The whole point here essentially is like, please do a good job selling this to the American people. Don't make this unpopular. Do it effectively. Do it effectively, you know? Donald Trump failed to seek congressional authorization prior to striking Iran. Again, the problem here, they did the same thing with Venezuela. Exact same thing. The problem here is not the war crime itself, or, you know, illegal strikes, but rather the, you know, the procedure by which it was done, how effectively it's being done. Schumer did the exact same thing. Let me find Schumer. Do you have a license for that war with Iran? No. My statement on President Trump's strikes in Iran. When I talked to Secretary Rubio, I implored him to be straight with Congress and the American people about the objectives of these strikes and what comes next. Iran must never be allowed to obtain a nuclear weapon, but the American people do not want another endless and costly war. Same language. It's all rote. It's verbatim. It's the same thing. They're all copy-pasting off the same goddamn, you know, Google Doc. The admin has not provided Congress and the American people with critical details about the scope and immediacy of the threat. Please, make my argument for me, you know? Do my work for me. Kamala statement? Sure, I haven't even seen it. I can only guess. Oh, Kamala Harris actually is condemning it a little bit. Donald Trump is dragging the U.S. into a war the American people do not want. Let me be clear, I'm opposed to a regime change war in Iran, and our troops are being put in harm's way for the sake of Trump's war of choice. Okay, you know, I despise her, but, and it's not enough, but, you know, I mean, it's certainly better than Jeffries and Schumer. I have to acknowledge that. Broken clock. Yeah, look, that's, you know, conditional credit. The bar is extremely low. Unbelievably low. Donald Trump is dragging the U.S. into a war the American people do not want. Let me be clear, I'm opposed to regime change war in Iran. This is a dangerous and unnecessary gamble with American lives that also jeopardizes stability in the region and our standing in the world. What we're witnessing is not strength, it is recklessness dressed as resolve. I know the threat Iran poses, and they must never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, but this is not the way to dismantle the threat. Right, yeah. Lowest possible bar. Check Zoran's Twitter for a statement. We know what Zoran says. Harris isn't a Zionist death cultist? Well, I wouldn't say that. The reassertion that Iran poses a great threat and must never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon still drives down on the fundamentals here. You know, American casualties. What about Iranian casualties? Well, in case you wanted another reason to hate him, Governor Newsom is doing the Zionist death cultist bit. So that's cool. Opening call from Gavin. The corrupt and repressive Iranian regime must never have nuclear weapons. The leadership of Iran must go. But that does not justify the president of the U.S. engaging in an illegal, dangerous war that will risk the lives of American service members. Blah, 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 right? The fundamental, listen, okay, the fundamental point here that they're all getting at, whether or not they wholeheartedly endorse the conflict, is that the underlying justification for the conflict, that Iran is dangerous and must never have nuclear weapons, is true and must be addressed, you know? None of them are willing to defy that. I mean, Mamdani is. Only if you want to hear the Golem's take. Well, we know Fetterman's position, which is, yippee, more dead, yay, dead Arabs, woo, Mossad, please don't release that video you have of me.
What is your response to Massey and to your colleagues who don't agree with this?
No, that's bizarre. You know, I'd like to remind my colleague over in the House that Iran massacred 30,000 of their own people right now. This war is not about the Iranian people. It's about this poisonous regime. And that's why I'm proud to stand with our military. I'm proud to stand with Israel, too. I might be a Democrat, but in this specific case, the president is absolutely correct to do these kinds.
In just this one instance, I agree with the Republicans, you know, in just this one.
Kinds of actions. And now we have Israel's back. And now that's why.
Israel's back? Oh, he's even using Trump's language, man. So fucking gross. Make Israel great again. Israel was a dead country. After October 7th, it was a dead country, but now Israel is back and better than ever.
It's entirely the path for peace in that region. How many treaties, how much negotiation? I never thought they would work. Iran has only ever responded to these kinds of thing. And now here we are right now, and
these
they have
kinds
the opportunity, real peace, and to change their way, committed to trying to destroy Israel and destabilizing the entire region. These were things are necessary.
Remember that recent interview with Fetterman, where he was being asked questions as he walked down the hallway, and he was being asked questions about the War Powers Resolution, and he just didn't have an answer at all? Like, he was defending Israel and arguing against the War Powers Resolution, but he couldn't even coherently express why he believed that. Just, he completely shut down and just stopped responding. Can somebody find me that clip, please? I've been looking for it, but it's really difficult, because if you look up Fetterman on Twitter, you get like an endless barrage. How'd you find it that quickly? How are you so good at that? You people are crazy. Yeah, here we go.
How do you plan to vote on Senator Paul and Senator Kane's War Powers Resolution to...
Is that coming up?
Yeah, they just...
Oh, I didn't know that for sure. Well, then that's a down.
Down?
Oh, yeah.
Why
yeah,
is that?
No. I mean, I voted no on it earlier, and I supported striking the nuclear facilities, and
reckless,
I think it
fat
probably
fuck.
Will become like appropriate to do that. We can never allow, if anyone in the Senate thinks we should never allow Iran, if anyone in the Senate doesn't want to acquire a nuclear bomb for Iran,
he's completely incoherent. Like, I understand he's had like actual brain damage. He actually cannot string a sentence together. It's incredible.
Then we have to make that and if anyone in the Senate doesn't want to acquire a nuclear bomb for Iran, then we have to make that and put that on the table, and I'm going to vote for that.
How exactly would strikes on Iran benefit the American people, like on the ground in Pennsylvania, for example?
It absolutely does. It makes the Middle East safer.
But in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, absolutely.
How so? But like how
this is how much the Zionazis care about convincing you, you know, this is the maximum level of effort they will put into step number one, accuse you of being anti-Semitic. Step number two, this.
How does it benefit them? Like, does it put more money in their pockets?
I'm voting it no. So, and I think we're good.
Like, he shut down, the question he shut down there for was, how does it benefit your constituents to do that? Like, that's it. It wasn't even, like, a tough question, you know? He could have done a spiel about how everyone in America benefits from a stable Middle East. Like, it's pretty, even if you're lying, it's pretty easy to put that answer together, right? He's had years to prepare it, but nope. When's his term up? 28. And he'll lose in 28. Almost certainly he'll lose in 28. He is not popular with Dems. Too polarized to win on an independent ticket, too. Mark Carney endorsed the war with Iran. This isn't surprising. Mark Carney has been good at pushing back against some elements of American, misbehavior, because Mark Carney is a neoliberal and we are fascist, but he's, like, neoliberals are still in favor of war with Iran. You know, like, that fits very well. That slots perfectly well into their worldview. McConnell is much smarter than Fetterman ever was, even if he's addled by old age. He threw away his entire political career for allegiance to Israel. You know, a cynic might say, actually, that Fetterman was just a revolving villain, you know, that they were worried about maintaining a pro-Zionist majority in the Senate, and they just needed a Democrat to fall on the sword and be the loud, obnoxious pro-Israel guy to make sure they always, always, always had that rep. He was always a Zionist, but they probably, like, pitched him in for that work, you know? If there was no Fetterman, they would have to invent one. Bolton on Iran. This is not even remotely surprising.
I know you support these strikes, but obviously there's going to be a lot of the president's supporters and people in the United States who listen to what he said on the campaign trail and certainly what he said in his first term and say, you know, this is the president who said he was against regime change in the Middle East, that he was against starting new wars. What do you make of what would you say to them tonight?
Well, I think they made the mistake of believing that Donald Trump had a consistent philosophy, national security strategy, and policy, which he doesn't. My only regret is that I wasn't persuasive enough in the first term to get to this point.
Most neocon. Bolton's basically a Democrat at this point, such the Overton window has shifted.
In terms of the regime change that the president is calling for, I mean, we have no idea right now what is the status of Iran's supreme leader. But I think a key question is what would happen next if he is ultimately killed in this attack?
Well, I think at this point, really, the Revolutionary Guard is the governing force in Iran, and that's the element of state power that needs to be destroyed. I think that the division of labor between Israel and the United States makes a lot of sense, but I think the real unknown question at this point is how much we and the Israelis have coordinated with the opposition. What we need for the Iranians themselves to be doing is looking for weak links in the leader.
Lamal, the reporter, has cartoonish evil eyebrows. That, my friend, is Caitlin Collins, and you will put some fucking respect on her name, okay? She's one of the only reporters we actually like here.
Leadership, looking for the tensions and the fractures and the divisions that can pull the regime apart at the top and bring significant elements over to the side of the opposition so that at some point the military refused to fire on civilians. Even the Revolutionary Guard rank and file could break and come over. This is the kind of work behind the scenes that doesn't require us to tell the opposition what we're doing militarily, but requires us to be working with them. I'm not sure that's happening, and that's worrying.
Cool. Well, pretty much the mainstream Democrat position at this point. Just remember that this war with Iran is a uniparty war, and the Democrats are quietly happy that Trump is doing it. The Democrats would do it themselves if they could. They're just happy that Trump is taking the fall for what would always have been an unpopular action. Fuck Israel in the USA, but I don't agree when you say Iran's been a stabilizing force. They greatly helped Assad survive, interfered in the Yemen war. You misunderstand. Iran backs destabilizing powers in the Middle East, but their existence as a whole stabilizes the Middle East. The fact that there is one nation that is still able to resist Western imperialism gives a lot of hope to people who might otherwise be despondent and be suicide bombing, you know, train stops or whatever. We're talking about a pop, like a overall, like regionally, a population of like a billion people, a lot of people, right? Who are in some way or another associated with this narrative of Western imperialism in the Middle East. Israel is the big destabilizing force, and Iran represents the abstract hope that resistance is possible, even if they can't, right? Iran cannot stop us. My belief is that their presence prevents a lot of people there from going Joker mode, you know? I think even Saudi Arabia benefits from this in the long run. There are a lot of people in Saudi Arabia who fucking despise the royal family. And the only reason they go along with this is because even though you have the Sunni-Shia split, for sure, but there's still the abstract support of opposition to Western imperialism. Take a look at Osama bin Laden, for example, right? Sometimes conflicts in the Middle East, especially with regard to American imperialism, resonate more along a colonized versus colonizer line than a Sunni-Shiite line, you know? It's not so much about, like, inter-religious disputes and more like, well, I'm glad somebody's standing up to them. And if nobody is, then, you know. Eesh, right? What about Russia, then? Wouldn't they provide the same hope? No. For one, they're not Middle Eastern. And for two, the Middle East, by and large, doesn't like Russia. Russia's had about the same relationship to the Middle East as America has. Like, historically, they haven't done a phenomenal job of demonstrating a goodwill and good faith to the fine people of the... What, the bin Laden family was millionaires, possibly billionaires? They benefited massively from the U.S.? What do you mean? Bin Laden was radicalized by his family's collaboration with the West. That was what drove him to terrorism. Like, Bin Laden came from a wealthy family. He was a fail son. But the thing that made him go Joker mode was like, damn, we're supposed to be the proud Islamic regime here in the Middle East. But for some reason, all my rich friends and family are working with the Americans. You know, that was what got him mad. Same thing with Shea, basically. It's a common theme. It's a common theme. Wasn't the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan even worse than the American one? Yeah, by a pretty large margin, but that was a different conflict. Also, Afghanistan's kind of marginal to a lot of... Well, I can't say marginal. Look, it's complicated, okay? Right now, the two big humiliations in the Middle East, I think, for a lot of people. Well, there are three big humiliations, okay? For one, Saudi Arabia is turning Mecca into a fucking Disney World, and people hate that. The Saudi Arabian royal family is basically secular, and they act like it. People don't like that. For two, Israel's wiping their sweaty cock and balls all over the Holy Land. That's not great. And for three, Iran represents the sort of national continuity of a thousands-year-old empire. Like, Iran and the Persian Empire has been going at it for, I mean, they've been around for a long-ass time. So you have these three, what are supposed to be, like, pillars of Middle Eastern, Islamic, whatever, Abrahamic culture, of faith, of like, a national importance, of tradition, that are basically getting stomped over, you know? And that makes people mad, which makes sense, you know? Also, Turkey's there, but who cares?